I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this off from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You can put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. Just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Welcome to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. We provide you with everything you need to know for total performance, fat loss, recovery, digestion, sleep, brain, and hormone optimization. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you just want to shed a few pounds, get ready for non-run-of-the-mill cutting-edge content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield here, and there's this expression, I think I first heard this from a Navy SEAL, that strong people are harder to kill. And in today's podcast, we're going to talk all about why that is and the fastest ways that you can get strong. Now, my guest today is a dude from Texas named Keith Norris. And Keith actually got involved in the bodybuilding scene pretty early back in the day. He was a bodybuilder. He was a power lifter. He was actually also a football player. He was a linebacker at Texas State. He had a knee injury, but still went on to win the title of Mr. Virginia. He was runner-up to Mr. America. And now he works down in Austin, Texas at a place called Efficient Exercise. And we're going to learn about some of the strategies that he uses there to get people stronger. But you may also be familiar with Keith as one of the faces of Paleo FX, because Keith, along with his wife, Michelle, started the Paleo FX conference that's so incredibly popular in the ancestral health industry and one of my favorite conferences of the year that we've talked about on the show before. Keith also blogs at the Ancestral Momentum blog. And as you listen to Keith and I talk, you can access any of the resources that we discuss if you just go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com/strong people. That's BenGreenfieldFitness.com/strong people. So Keith, what's up, man?
Hey, man, just living the dream here in Austin, Texas. People working out, you know,
doing it. Yeah, Austin is a cool town.
It is.
You got a lot of little skinny runners there, but I know you got a few swole folks too, right?
That's right. We're trying to change that. We're trying to make swole runners out of them still.
That's right. Strong runners. Strong and fast runners. So Keith, I think I've seen you say this too, that strong people are harder to kill. So I think that's probably a perfect place to jump in, man. Why are strong people harder to kill?
Yeah, man, it is so true. And actually I first heard this from Mark Ripto, who is a guy in Wichita Falls here, you know, starting strength, that guy, that's who I first heard that from. And it, you know, it stuck and it's so true. And it's not just, we're talking today about physical strength, but really it's mental strength, it's emotional strength, and then it bleeds down into physical strength. But, you know, on the mental and emotional side of it, I believe, am I right, Ben, that you went through Mark Devine's Kokoro out in San Diego? Is that, am I correct in that? Did that?
I did. Please don't trigger any PTSD on this podcast.
Okay. All right. For sure.
That was one of the more stressful parts of my year.
Okay. So one small thing that you left out of my bio, and you inserted the bodybuilding part, which is like, huh. But you left off my military career. So I was 9 years in the military. So
really, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And although I was not a SEAL, a lot of the training I went through was pretty brutal, and it's, you know, it takes a lot of mental and emotional strength to get through. But let's drop on down and talk about physical strength. I'll tell you a quick story about it. And I was just texting this fellow earlier. So client of mine, he's in his 70s. And if your listeners know anything about Austin, it's kind of where the coastal plain, the Texas coastal plain, meets the hill country. In certain parts of town, it's pretty hilly. This particular client lives on a hill, and his yard is terraced. So he comes in to work out one day, and he's a little bruised up. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's kind of a crusty old guy, and he tells me that he was working on his terrace wall, and it's a limestone wall. Anyway, he falls off the terrace, hits the second level terrace on the way down, boom, hits another level. So he's just kind of tumbling down to the terrace till he finally stops. And stands up, dusts himself off, cusses a little bit, and walks back up to where he started and finishes up, you know, taking care of the wall.
Yeah.
That, my friends, if that had happened to a normal 70-year-old, that may have very well ended that person's life. Broken hip, you know, something like that. I mean, that's at least starting the downward slide. This guy, because he's strong and has, you know, some hypertrophy to him, bounced right back up, cussed a little bit, came in to work out the next day, just bruised a little bit and was laughing about it.
I think one of the things that people get nervous about, though, when you're talking about getting yourself strong is, well, there's two things that I get kickback on when it comes to like strength building, especially in, you know, average folks who don't want to be a bodybuilder. Sure. Number one is the risk of getting injured, getting there in the first place. Like, how do you actually get hella strong without getting injured, without throwing out your back on a deadlift or, you know, throwing out your butt or whatever it is that you throw out on a squat? That's part one. And then part two is, and you hear this a lot from females, like they just don't want to get big, right? Big and bulky. Sure. So, I guess let's tackle the first part of that first. Like what's the best way? I mean, you have this place called Efficient Exercise and I know that you're all about efficiency, but what's the best way that people can get strong?
Yeah, you're right. I was going to give a product endorsement right there real quick and a shameless product endorsement.
I would say for you.
Thank you very much. I would say that if you're in Austin, come by Efficient Exercise, or if you're in San Antonio or Chicago, come by and check us out. But that aside, you have to be smart. I mean, you can't go into lifting heavy weights and jump right into very, very heavy weights. Yes, you are going to get hurt doing that. And yes, I've seen this numerous times. And yes, I've seen people with bad form try to lift heavy weights, and that's a train wreck, you know, getting ready to happen. The thing about it is you have to start small. You know, it's just like any other skill endeavor, and strength is a skill. It's like any other skill. You don't go out playing tennis and, you know, start off playing Serena Williams right off the bat. That's not smart. It's probably not smart for someone who is experienced playing tennis. But you have to start light. You have to get correct form, and you have to baby step on up through. And you have to use smart programming to get there. And it's not all that complicated. It really is not. But you have to be smart about it.
So tell me about your approach at Efficient Exercise, because I know you guys do unique stuff as far as like matching the – you talked about like force production curves and all this stuff that you do. And I'm interested in what all that entails, because – you know, I think we've talked about it on the show before. You know, my recommendations in the past have been like, you know, progress, as you just talked about, Keith, but like, you know, whatever. Use a barbell, do a 5x5 or a program from Strong Lifts, or like, you know, Dan John's Mass Made Simple is another one that I've talked about. But what do you guys do at Efficient Exercise?
Yeah, so we have access to some very, very special equipment here. This is called the ArxFit equipment, adaptive resistance exercise.
How do you spell ArxFit?
So it's ArxFit.
Okay.
And you can get to the website. We've got some videos up there that it kind of explain this process a little bit better than what I'm going to do in this verbal communication. It's pretty tough to explain what we're doing. So you really need some visuals along with it. So if you go to the website, arxfit.com, and you'll see some videos on there.
Okay.
That will further explain this. But essentially, what it does is this equipment matches the force curve perfectly for any compound movement that you can think of. Let's use a bench press. Everybody knows what a bench press looks like. So it's very, very easy to explain verbally. Imagine, if you will, that you had a perfectly matched barbell that would somehow magically adjust to your strength throughout the range of motion. So if you can imagine this, let's start off with a barbell. You're lying flat on the bench. You're getting ready to do a bench press. You unrack the weight. It's very, very heavy, okay? Because one thing that we need to think about is you are 40% stronger in the eccentric than you are in the concentric, meaning I can lower 40% more weight than I can lift.
Right.
Okay, so that's one thing.
So it's now, so much easier, like when you have like a barbell on your back and you're doing a squat, to sit down versus stand up with it.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. Now, a normal bench press, loaded heavy, is a perfectly fine exercise. It's not my favorite exercise, but it's a perfectly fine exercise. The problem is with any gravity-based system, barbells, dumbbells, bodyweight exercises, you name it, there's built-in inefficiencies. So if I could lift 40% more on the negative, so I'm lowering this weight down, oh shit, now it's stuck on my chest and I can't get it up. I've fully taxed myself on the eccentric, but now I've got a barbell implanted in my chest and I can't get it up. So
Right. Obviously
we have to choose a weight that we can get from the most limiting position that would be right at the chest on the way up. That's the most limiting position for the bench press biomechanically. So I have to choose a weight that I can at least get off my chest. That in turn produces inefficiency all throughout the rest of the exercise. I could lift heavier weight in any other elbow flexation position, but I don't have the weight on the bar. Ergo, I have to do rep after rep after rep, set after set after set. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So with this particular modality, since it adapts to my strength depending on where I am in the strength curve, now I've got that 40% extra weight in the lockout position. I start to lower it, and it's perfectly matching my force output as I come down. Perfectly matches all the way down till I hit my chest. Then we start coming back up and it's perfectly matching again.
So basically what you're saying is when you say perfectly matches, like the harder you push, the harder it pushes against you, and the harder you resist, the more that it pushes against you.
Yes, absolutely right.
Okay, so, gotcha.
Now, nothing is dropping on me though. So the only thing that happens is I fatigue, is I just produce less force.
And nothing is dropping on you because this is just like a series of like pulleys and levers because it's a machine, right?
And you can think of this too. So let's say that I take the barbell away and Ben, let's say you trust me implicitly. I pull up a fork truck over you. I lower the forks down and I say, Ben, we're going to do a bench press with the forks. You might look at me a little crazy, but just follow me. So you're laying flat on the bench. I slowly lower the fork truck forks and you try to resist them. As I lower, there's no way you're going to stop the fork truck. There is no way, but you're going to try. Mm-hmm. And let's say I had some kind of device on there that would show you instantaneously what your force output is throughout the range of motion. Right. I lower the forks. You're trying to resist. We get down to chest level. I turn and I raise the forks slowly. You're trying to push the forks up faster than when I'm actually moving them. And again, you're seeing your force output read out over here. Essentially, that's what this machine does. Now, it's much more complex than that. The transmission is obviously a lot smoother, so the turnarounds wouldn't be herky-jerky like a fork truck would be, but that's essentially the idea. You cannot beat the machine. There's no way you can beat the machine, but you're trying to beat the machine.
Yeah, and I've been on it before, and it is tough. And, you know, even after like a 2-minute set, you're pretty much sore for like 2 days. So, you know that it's working. But, dude, do you get any kickback about, because you're just like sitting, right? Do you get any kickback about this type of movement not being functional, right? Like compared to, say, like a single leg squat or like picking something heavy off the ground?
Well, yeah, I mean, we do get kickback. But the thing is, you use the tool for the job at hand. Right.
So this is basically one single goal of getting as strong as possible.
Yes, it's one single goal. And I tell all athletes, we're going to get you strong in this modality. But if you're a baseball player, you still have to play baseball. If you're a football player, you still have to play football. If you're an endurance runner, you still have to run. You still have to bike. You still have to swim. This is not a magical tool that's going to impart skill to you. This tool is going to make you strong. Then you take that strength and transmute it into your skill. So it's got to be a constant, you know, back and forth play. You train to be strong. When you train to be strong and use the correct tools, and then you go on and you know, with the rest of your programming.
So how many minutes a day? Like, are you, because I know you can do multiple exercises on a machine like this, but are people just doing like one exercise each day, or do you just like pile on like five different moves and you go through one set of each of those moves, or how's the programming work?
Yeah, so it totally depends on the person. We program in an N equals one fashion here. So, I mean, if you were to sit in here and watch clients come in and out, there's no one client session that looks the same. They're all different because every client that comes in here has different goals. Every client that comes in here does something different on their off days. You know, there's rowing is a huge community here in Austin, cycling, triathlons, running, all of that. So sometimes they do nothing. Sometimes they're like my client who's just
How about an example though? Just give me an example. So people can wrap their heads around it.
Yeah. So an example, I might do one exercise, say a leg press using the ArxFit equipment. And I might do two exercises for upper body. Maybe I'll do a chin and maybe I'll do an overhead press. So on the ArxFit, they're doing three different exercises. They might do
one set.
Yeah, sometimes two, depends on the person,
But
the goal.
A set takes like a minute or two or whatever?
Or seconds.
Okay.
Because now the way I use this personally, I do singles or doubles on it. A single, you know, for one exercise might be 15 seconds. And people would look at that and go, 15 seconds, are you kidding me? You know, I'm not even getting going. But if you go to full intensity, full all-out intensity for 15 seconds, you are taxed, seriously, seriously taxed.
Yeah.
So that's just a really, really quick example. And there's a gazillion ways to program this stuff.
Interesting. So do you guys do any traditional exercises there? Like, do you have like med balls or stability balls or, you know, like elastic bands and stuff like that?
Yes. Yeah. So and I always say I steal from every modality there is out there. I steal from powerlifters. I steal from Olympic lifters. I come from a traditional strength and conditioning community, specifically for football and volleyball. So I steal aspects from that. I'm like a fusion chef in here. And it's true. Yeah. If it works, I use it. Bodyweight exercises, barbells, dumbbells. If you come into the studio in Austin, you will see everything here.
Okay. So there's people listening who are like in, you know, freaking like London and Dubai and Australia, all over the place. Are there ways that you can replicate this approach using the type of equipment you'd see at the average gym when you walk in, like matching force production curves, that type of thing?
No.
Okay. So let's say that somebody just like doesn't have access to one of these. What would be the next best thing?
Okay, so moving up from there, now we're talking about still heavy compound movements. And what I mean by heavy is something you can handle for 3 to 5-ish repetitions with good form. Okay, so there's a starting spot. What do I mean by compound? I'm talking multi-joint exercises. So squats are in, okay? Leg extensions are out. Deadlifts are in. Leg curls are out, that kind of thing. Dips. I love dips. Overhead presses. All the basic exercises that you can think of that are multi-joint exercises.
How many sets and how many reps?
So what my target is between 21 and 25 repetitions on these exercises, broken up between 8 and say 5 sets. So we're talking about a 3x8. Mm-hmm. So 8 sets of 3 repetitions, or the old school 5x5 is a fantastic lead-in program for most people. And really, if most people were to stay, you know, with a 3x8 protocol or a 5x5 protocol with the heavy compound movements, I mean, they're 80% there. If you don't have access to anything else, really and seriously, it's that easy.
And how many times a week do you think people should lift to get strong?
So it depends on what you're doing otherwise. For most people, I would say twice a week doing something like that.
Okay.
But it's got to be super intense. And I would also rotate through the exercises too. So I wouldn't do squats twice a week, nor would I do bench press twice a week, but I would rotate through. So a good lower body split would be one day squats, the next day deadlifts, for the next workout, deadlifts.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you're breaking stuff up that way. A good upper body would be, say, flat bench press one time. One workout, overhead press is the next. So you're keeping things mixed up. You're still working basically the same muscle groups, but you're working them in a little bit different fashion.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So when you're using this approach, how do you keep women from bulking up, or say like a marathoner? Guy, right? Guys, yep, or girls who want to like run for long distances without having to carry a bunch of muscle that takes energy to carry and energy to cool.
So there's a couple things that we can dive into in real quick. And really, I am just scratching the surface here. But the question about women putting on a lot of muscle mass, it's not going to happen. You don't have the testosterone levels to be able to pull that off naturally. And if a woman is taking supplemental testosterone, believe me, she's not worried about putting on muscle. She's doing it to put on muscle. So that's one thing to think about. I get this question all the time with clients coming in. I want to lift, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to look like a she-male. I got you. And I tell you what, I will double your money back if you wake up one day and you look that way.
So what about like if you look like the CrossFit games, like Annie Thor's daughter and some of these like women who are pretty, they're, you know, to use the word again, they're swole. Like what's going on there?
Okay, so they have either a naturally high testosterone level, and this is what I would like to believe, okay, or they're supplementing with testosterone. And this is a professional sport. I have no judgment against, let me just say that, I have no judgments negatively about someone using testosterone to be better at their sport. And that's a whole other philosophical thing we can go down, or ethical thing that we can go down, but these athletes are making money at a sport. Once you start throwing money at a sport, people are going to dodge the system, and they're, you know, it's like anything else. They're trying to be the best. You're talking about athletes to start with who are driven to win no matter what, and you start throwing money at it.
Could it be as simple as calories, like just eating ungodly amounts of food combined with heavy lifting? Like, could that cause a woman to bulk up versus like caloric balance or caloric moderation?
Not to that extent. Nearly to that extent. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. What about estrogen? What about like estrogen dominance, right? Like too much estrogen floating around the bloodstream. Would that be something that could cause a similar response, or would that just cause them to get fat?
No. Okay. It's a testosterone. Testosterone driven phenomenon. And that's what it comes down to. And again, listen, I've trained, female volleyball players who I knew were not using anything. They were just that naturally high. They're, you know, just the 98th percentile of female testosterone level, they had it. And they were muscular, in my opinion, freaking awesome looking, but they're much more muscular than your average girl.
Yeah.
And a lot more muscular than your, you know, and you see this a lot in volleyball players, and you see it in female sprinters. See that kind of that heavy musculature, a little bit higher testosterone levels,
speaking of Serena Williams, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's got that. She just has a naturally high testosterone level to begin with, and like I say, I know nothing of what her recovery regimen looks like, because a lot of athletes will use testosterone to help recovery. I mean, it's a recovery process, right?
Yeah,
and, which is why Tour de France riders are. You know, do you think they're using testosterone to get swole? No, that's the last thing they want.
Right, but if they were lifting heavy, like some of those guys have huge quads.
But if they were to lift heavy, they would. Yeah. They would put on some muscle. Yeah.
Okay, so kind of staying down this pathway of biochemistry a little bit, there is, you know, this thought out there that muscle means growth, and too much growth could potentially be carcinogenic, right? Like being in a constantly anabolic state where you're whatever, you know, to use like the stereotypical like milk chugging bodybuilder, right? Like maybe they've got like undifferentiated cell growth just from, you know, being so anabolic. How do you strike a balance between being in that consistently getting stronger, feeding your face, anabolic state, and then what they've found to be the life extending benefits of things like fasting and calorie restriction and like aerobic exercise? And you know, it seems that the two stand in stark contrast. How do you strike that balance?
Yeah. And I think that's everything in life, right? So everything has a yin yang, everything has a balance. First of all, I would never claim to be the expert on this. At the end of the day, I don't know. I really don't know. But I can say this. I can say that a forced, very, very much forced nitrogen, trying to maintain a positive nitrogen balance, once you're past that early growth stage, say 25, 26, in that type of range, I think, you might be setting yourself up for some negative consequences down the road.
Interesting.
I think that I'll just back up one step and tell you the way I do it. Okay. I still lift heavy. I still train very, very hard. I still go at it, but I don't force myself to be on a quote unquote positive nitrogen balance all the time.
Can you explain when you say positive nitrogen balance? I mean, I know that you mean like eating excess amounts of protein, but what's that mean for you or the people you work with?
So yes, that, and, eating multiple times a day.
Okay. Okay. So you're not one of those like snack six times a day as you're getting stronger, like multiple 20 gram portions of protein.
I am. Yes. If A, you're younger, or you have made the choice that, okay, I agree that there's negative consequences to doing this, maybe from a longevity perspective, but I'm willing to give that up for short-term gains otherwise. See how this comes back to kind of a philosophical question.
Yeah, like the whole health versus performance thing.
Exactly, the health versus performance. I mean, this is coming from an ex-football player. At that time, what health meant to me at that time was, am I on the field playing? Mm-hmm. That was health. If I'm healthy enough to be on the field, that to me was health. Things have changed in the last, 25 years or so. I don't see it that way anymore.
Yeah.
I see health is leading this thing, and I want to be strong, and have a good body composition to help me in that endeavor. So I've kind of flipped the switch. Now, I was able to get away with it when I was in my 20s because, let's face it, we have the hormonal profile to be able to support that and all the downstream consequences that come with that. That enables you to be pretty bulletproof at that age, and you can get away with a lot of stuff and you can recover from it. You can't do that. I'm 50 now. I turned 50 this year. Now I've got to really think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think that, at least from what I've seen, because there's that research study, I think this is one done at the University of California a few years ago, where they were feeding people a calorie-restricted diet, and they were lifting heavy, and they were still building muscle and burning fat.
See, I was just going to say, I think and the leading driver in this is what is your work output? What are you doing on that side of it? Because I think, and I've proven this time after time again, that it's not the eating that drives the muscle gain. It's the work that drives the muscle gain. And science hasn't really figured this out, but magical things happen when you lift weights. The body is going to respond. It's going to do everything that it can to respond to that stress, even in absence of excess calories.
Interesting. Yeah. So, another question that I have for you is just about like general nutritional support when it comes to getting strong. Are there, in addition to just like protein and eating good, high quality food? And I know that you, as the founder of PaleoFX, you're all about high quality food.
Absolutely.
And of course, I know you're also a fan of beer. Which is crucial for building muscle. Do you do any supplements? Are you like a creatine guy or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. There's a few supplements I think that work for putting on muscle. And I would say that, first of all, before you start talking about creatine, which yes, creatine does work, and I do use creatine. Branch chain amino acids, yes, that works. I do use them, but first and foremost, I have a very, very solid baseline micronutritional program. That's first and foremost, because the other stuff, and I explain it to people like this. If I drive up to a work site and I dump off a load of lumber, but I forget to dump off the nails too, I've still got a whole workforce out there that's looking at me with their thumb in their ass. What am I going to do with this? Micronutrition is the same way.
So when you say a micronutrition program, what do you mean?
And I don't want to get into a big pitch here, but I am an ID Life representative. And Michelle and I came into ID Life early on in the inception because they have a very, very smart baseline supplementation program. So I would just say that. And people
use like a high-quality multivitamin.
It's a high-quality, very, very pure dose-specific multivitamin. It's an N equals one multivitamin. So at baseline micronutrition, that's got to be first and foremost. Even on top of a badass diet in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so this is on top of, because let's face it, the, you know, Michelle and I are very, very savvy shoppers. And I mean, we don't know everything there is to know, obviously, about nutrition, but we are saturated with this, putting on PaleoFX. I mean, we have access to everybody, yeah. right? So, and even as smart as we are, even as well as we shop, I know that we still have micronutritional deficiencies simply because soil depletion. I mean, something as simple as that, just soil depletion. It's not the same mineral content in the soil these days as, you know, look 100 years ago even. So that's one thing to think about. So A, your diet has to be dialed in, and B, you have to have a solid micronutritional program to bridge the gaps that you're going to have no matter how well you eat. If we have those two things in line, then we can start talking about using creatine. Then we can start talking about using branched chain amino acids, because in absence of those other two precursors being there, the other is just not going to work as well.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So your multivitamin, creatine, any other big wins? You said branched chain amino acids.
Yeah. But I mean, the difference in effectiveness between, say, branched chain amino acids and creatine is creatine way so far outweighs the benefits of branched chain amino acids. Diet and smart micronutritional supplementation way outweighs the benefits of creatine. So the percentage of increase that you're going to get from each of these implementations just drops off exponentially, if you get what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
My first supplement outside of the basic diet and basic micronutrition would be creatine. That's okay. Very, very easy. It's super cheap and it's easy to dose.
Yeah. I mean, I personally take 5 grams a day year round, just because a lot of people don't know this. It's like a neurotropic, like it can help with mental performance. So even when I'm not in a strength training phase, I use it just because it's I mean, it's one of the most researched things on the face of the planet. So
it's super safe. There's so many studies on this, and it's just, I mean, you could eat a pound of it a day and be okay. I mean, obviously I'm exaggerating, but it's super safe.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. A few other quick questions for you. And then I want to ask you about PaleoFX as well here in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
But this ARX Fit that you were talking about, this strength training equipment, do people have to go to a gym, or is there a way that, like, could I buy one of these for my basement?
Absolutely, you could. So Dave Asprey actually has one.
Then it must be good.
In his place. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, so here's the thing. This particular equipment has been in roughly 5 years of beta testing. We've gone through prototype after prototype. We finally got this thing where we want it, and we have just come through the first manufacturing run. Actually, as I speak today, the first manufacturing run will kick off for the Omni. And so there's three different versions of this machine. The first of which is called the Omni, and that one's coming down the production line right now. So the answer is, can you buy one? Yes. Can you buy all three yet? That's a yes, but the other two versions have to be one-off manufactured. But yes, can you buy one? Yes. Are they ubiquitous in gyms throughout the nation? Not yet, but we certainly
how much approximately would one cost to put one in your house?
You're looking at about $15,000.
Wow.
$15,000. Yeah.
Wow. So this is pretty advanced technology. But this would be like the, if you were just going to put like one thing in your house to keep you as strong as possible with low impact, this is what you'd recommend, huh?
And that's exactly it. I mean, and we have lease arrangements too, so you can look at, you know, $750 a month. Is a lot more easy to tolerate than the other.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a chunk of change. You could pretty much just like pay for it in chunks.
Yeah, So we have the lease arrangement. But yes, I mean, you're talking about one tool to handle all your strength training needs.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
And cool. You know, as we go through the manufacturing process, obviously one-off manufacturing is super expensive. You start rolling out machine after machine, the price drops. I mean, it's just basic economics. So. So anyway, that's where we are with that. We're very excited about it. We have a huge amount of interest right now. I'll just put it that way. We're actually even talking with a contract firm that works with the DOD and with NASA, and we're we're talking about it. Ben, I don't know if you saw my AHS presentation, but essentially it was, how do we keep astronauts safe in zero gravity conditions over a long haul?
Yeah, and, I didn't see it, but I listened to it later on. It was a good presentation.
And what that boils down to is eccentric exercise. That is the one component that they're missing when they're in microgravity that causes all the bone loss and the sarcopenia that these guys experience and gals experience while they're in space. We can circumvent that with this type of equipment because A, it provides a heavy, heavy, heavy duty eccentric load, and B, it's not gravity based.
Gotcha. So, okay, cool. And they have them at, like, if anybody's going to Paleo FX, just like stop and do a few sets on it. Like what I do, honestly, when I'm at the conference.
Yeah, right on.
It's like a 3-day conference. So I do a set in the morning and a set in the evening just to kind of keep myself strong. Oh, I'll do like what I'll do, like the leg press in the evening and like the pull down or the press in the morning. And it's like my little start and end of my day when I'm at Paleo FX the past couple of years. And that's a great segue. Paleo FX. What do you think are going to be some of the cooler things that are showing up this year? Because, I mean, like, 1 year I was there, you guys had, like, a giant semi-truck with, like, a cryotherapy chamber in it that people could use. And I think, another time there were, like, Indian club bell classes. And, I've seen all sorts of stuff there. So fill me in on some unique things that are happening this year over there.
Yeah, so we'll have the unique stuff again this year. One thing that we're putting together, and we're super, super stoked about this, we're putting together a combine of sorts. So we're working with a company out of Dallas, Texas. It's called Real Fit Test Score. And they're actually coming down tomorrow, and we're going to do a dry run of it. So this would be really, really cool. But so there's different components to the combine. There's a strength component, there's a speed component, there's an endurance component, and there'll be between 7 and 9 different exercises or events that'll be put on, and you'll be scored on each of those events, and you'll get an overall score, and you'll kind of see how you match up against your peers. And what's cool about this is, for instance, in the 40-yard dash, you can see how you match up against other males of your age, or you can actually see, I wonder what I look like against, say, Chris Johnson in the NFL who ran a 4.240.
That's kind of cool.
So it's very, very cool. So it's Dave, the guy out of Real Fit Test Score, he's a data hound. I mean, he has data out the yin yang. And so anyway, it's very, very cool. And we're going to do a dry run of it tomorrow. Dave's coming down from Dallas. We're going to put it together. The strength component will be on the ARX machines. So not only will you get a max, traditional powerlifting, you would have a 1 rep max, right? But on the ARX machine, we're able to extract so much other data out of that. With 1 repetition, you'll be able to see a lot more metrics that you can follow. You can get an eccentric max, you can get a concentric max, and you can get an instantaneous power output over the duration of the lift, which is super cool. So now instead of just having one, maximum number, you'll have actually 3 numbers combined into 1 output. Super, super cool. So that's one thing. We'll have that combine going on. One of the speakers that I'm really, really stoked about is Fred Navarro, who's out of San Francisco. He's actually...
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say me.
Oh, well, that too. I mean, that's...
I'm just giving you a hard time, dude. Who's Fred? Who's Fred Navarro?
So Fred Navarro is a professor out in San Francisco. I can't... SFU, maybe? Mm-hmm. I'm probably butchering that. But anyway, regardless. He has done research on and has... This is his life's passion. Research on habit change. And research on what drives people, A, either to make good health choices, or B, continue in the downward cycle of making bad health choices. And I am so simplifying this, but Fred has so much great information, and he's packaged it in such a way that is so very, very smart. It is just, it blows my mind. And this is the holy grail. We know the information. Everybody knows the information, and that's easy to come by. But execution and implementation, that is the holy grail. So if you can actually execute what you know logically to be right, that is the hurdle that so many people fail to get over. Well, Dave has a, and Dave, Fred has a path to be able to get you over that hurdle. So it's super, super interesting. And this is something that I've always been interested in, because I've always known that the information is there. Now, how is it that I can have some people comply with that information and some people just won't? I mean, they will even tell you, yeah, I know what to do. Yes, I know exactly what to do. I can't do it. Well, why is that? It's got to be some way that I'm packaging it, some way that I'm selling it. So you have a switch somewhere or a trigger that I'm not hitting, that right. I am hitting with other people. And I've gotten better at that just because I've worked with people for so long. I can kind of ferret out the, you know, personality trait triggers, what I need to hit. But if I have someone like Fred to tell me, you know, to kind of lay out a blueprint for me, I can increase my percentage of the people I can positively affect. So that's just, you know, a 30,000 foot view. 150 speakers again, Ben.
Yeah. Wow, man.
I mean, it's going to be a five-ring circus. We've got the entire Palmer Center this year. Cool. Last year we had half of that center for people who've been out there. It's a massive, massive event.
Yeah. Sweet, dude. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a ton of fun. Awesome. Well, everything that Keith and I talked about today, from like the ARX Fix to Keith's gym down there in Austin to PaleoFX, I'll put a link to all of it in the show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/strongpeople. If you want to check it out, bengreenfieldfitness.com/strongpeople. I'd highly recommend PaleoFX is April 24th through the 26th this year. If you want to add that to your calendar, you don't have to be paleo to go. It's pretty much just like healthy ancestral living. I've met a bunch of vegans and vegetarians there. I mean, like, yeah, anybody can show up. So check that out. And Keith, thanks for coming on the call today, man.
Dude, had a great time, Ben. Really look forward to seeing you at PaleoFX in the spring.
Awesome. See you there. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Visit BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness, nutrition, and performance advice.